You are listening to Season 8, Episode 5.
Welcome to Experience University, where we aim to educate, inspire, and empower individuals who wish to design transformational experiences. Now your host, Dr. Kristen Malik.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Experience University, Season 8. We have so many incredible guests and interviews and knowledge on this season, and we're going to deliver today. I have got with me today Chris Catania, and he is head of community. This is a really big thing that we're talking about in the event industry lately is building community. Which, should we have a specific person dedicated to community, to networking? What are the metrics for that? And so Chris and I go back a bit now, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of our things that we've got coming up. But Chris is absolutely incredible. And I'm not just saying that because he's a guest here, but he's won community leadership awards for outstanding design, community champion, community of the year. He's all things community. He leads initiatives to develop community impact and ROI. That's what we're talking about a lot in the event industry. He does mission, vision, purpose for community teams. He's leading award-winning community programs. This episode is not going to be long enough. I already know this for a fact. I feel like Chris and I could talk forever about community. So Chris, this is something that's really big in the event industry. I always like to give that example, and it's big right now, and people are lashing out about it, saying you can't just reserve a room and give us an open bar and put a smaller group of subset of people in a room, like a first-time attendee. You can't just take 40 people who don't know each other, put them in a room with an open bar and expect them to make meaningful connections. So can you talk to us a little bit about community at large, how you see community, cultivating community? And I know that me and you both get super passionate about this. And so we're going to try to keep it at like 4 or 5 minutes. And I'm going to
try
so hard not to cut you off.
Go ahead. Yeah, no, feel free. No, yeah. Thank you again, Kristen. It's awesome to be here. Yeah, very excited to dive into this. Yeah, very close to my heart topic. For a long time, about 20 years, I've been building communities and really helping leaders. You know, that's my passion, you know, speaking to them and helping organizations, especially worked a lot with event teams. So this topic, I'm glad you reached out to me and say, hey, let's talk about this. And I think one of the things you mentioned there about that scenario, put the bar in the middle and kind of hope it. It reminded me of something that I've been saying. I haven't said in a while, but you triggered some memories with that, is that I often tell people that if it looks like good community, it's not organic, it's engineered. Mm-hmm. And good community is that it's intentional, it's thoughtful, it's strategic, you know, it's putting things in the right place. I know you and I have talked about live music in some cases, you know, when you go to an event, see your favorite artist who's really good at what they do, that artist is really thinking about that entire performance. You know, they're thinking about how do we connect the fans? You know, how do we do all these things? So for me, that rings true when I think about intentional community and really value-added community, that it's planned, you know, and there's thought into it, like a fine meal, right? Like you go to a favorite restaurant, sitting down, several courses, you know, that chef is not just pulling stuff randomly. It's there and it's an experience. Community is no different. It's a fine meal. You know, you can't microwave it, all that stuff. And yeah, don't just put a bar in the middle of a room and hope that people are going to find it, because some people may not like the bar and some people, you know, there's so many reasons why that is a recipe for disaster. And, you know, it actually can create the opposite of what you want and make people feel disconnected, you know, and not connected. So yeah, please, if you're listening to this, Do not put a bar in the middle of your room and hope that.
So then, how do we cultivate it, Chris? Tell us some tips.
Yeah. I mean, it starts with getting to, you know, well, it really goes back to belief, right? If you truly love your, you know, if it's customers that you're bringing together, users of products, or you know, whatever your audience is, you gotta fall in love with them. You know, you gotta really be like, I love them, and you love them so much that you want to bring them together. Facilitation. Sometimes community can be misunderstood, just the word itself. And I think we could have a whole podcast about like defining the word community, which I've struggled with that my whole career. And I'm happy to do that, but I think that's a whole nother podcast. But really understanding what facilitation is, and your intention should be to bring those people together. And that's what community is, because community is understanding that at our core, we're better when we're working together. You know, if you're wanting to see your audience thrive, or your, you know, whether, again, whether it's customers, attendees, whatever, whoever these people are that you want to bring together and build this community with them, you have to understand what they want. What do they want to get out of it? I like to use the phrase shared value. That's at the core of a lot of what I do, and figuring out, you know, okay, well, are they here to learn? Are they here to make connections? You know, are they an executive audience where they want to network, you know, and they want to find out insights so they could take that back? Do they want to walk away with relationships? Do they want to learn technology better? Like all these different things could be any one of those things, but finding out like, what are they, like, why are they there? What's the most important piece for them? And then you build out from there, because you don't want to design the event with selfish intentions. And I don't think it happens consciously. I think that can be something that, you know, you just kind of doing because, oh, we just have to put the event and put these things on. And you know, we're trying to do something. So I think there's always well-intended purpose. But I think, again, for me, when I think about the best events I've been to, when I look around and go, wow, okay, I'm a community builder and I'm really feeling connected. What did this event person do? And I've been to those events where I take those people on the side. I'm like, well, what'd you do? Because I'm like, you're really hitting, you know, I can kind of nerd out on that, but I can tell.
Well, I mean, think about it. We met at an event, right? Know? Like we met at a thought leadership event.
Yes.
And we clicked and we've been friends ever since. And
it's a great example.
One thing that really became clear about community and its role with events kind of happened during COVID, accidentally maybe, but the CMOs, the chief marketing officers, the marketing teams, they really fell in love with events. They just became obsessed with events because events moved online. So everything was trackable. So they could see the engagement. They could see the connections. They could see who was reaching out to who. Everything became trackable. And as we live in a world that's increasing in artificial intelligence, these genuine interactions between real people that happen at events, you just shot up in the value scale. And so you're sitting there and live events now is the number one way to build trust. I think that was a Freeman report. They've shown it for 2 or 3 years. So live events, number one way to build trust, and just getting off of potential AI, hearing how people really talk, being able to look in their eyes. And it's interesting because I think community became so important in this realm when it came to events. Because maybe historically, events was treated a little bit more as like a singular touch point, especially in association world. They're like, okay, we have to have our live event because it's required by our legislatures because of the specific tax code we have. Or we have to have our live event because this is what funds the rest of our, even though they have memberships, it's really the live event that funded their organization. And then during and after COVID, it's like, oh no, memberships are going down, attendance is going down. We need to re-envision all of this. And so thinking about community and community as a pipeline. So I'm pre-framing this a little bit, but one of the struggles that we have in the event industry, I've been to 3 different events now in the last 6 months that have all talked about, do we have a head of networking? What are the metrics used for networking? How do we look at if our event was a networking success? And of course, these event professionals are looking singularly and not holistically in most terms of like the community and at large and extending before and after the event. So you are head of community. You've been doing this for 20 years. You have all the metrics, and I'm going to dig into them. What kind of metrics are you using for measuring the ROI of communities?
Yeah, no, great topic. And you know, certainly metrics are important. Any community strategy or any leader that I work with, I always ask them like, what are your goals? You know, what are your KPIs? You know, and then we use the community, you know, in this case, when I'm talking community for the context of this conversation, you know, usually it's a digital online experience, you know, like a forum or, you know, whatever, right? So I think that's the community when I say that word in this conversation. So in that case, I go, okay, well, having this event, and I want to ask them, you know, what are your goals? You know, we use kind of an idea of that, you know, it's a full circle experience, meaning that the event is not just a siloed experience, you know, that we want to bring people who are already part of the community, you know, in this case, maybe they're a registered member of an online community, you know, into that event and make sure that they're aware of that, connect them with someone. So we really look at the opportunity to take whatever goals they're trying to achieve. And usually, you know, in my work with events groups, it's understanding, you know, that they just want people to come there and learn content or network or things like that. But I'm like, well, you could do so much more. It's a connective tissue, right? And I always explain community is like a, you know, think of your body and the muscles and the bones and the skeleton, all that kind of stuff. The community is the ligaments and everything like that. So I try and look at practically the, you know, the registered attendees. We, you know, taking what data you have of them, whether that's, you know, email addresses, all the kinds of things, and then look at the community. And for example, you know, we look at who's registered in the community and who's coming to the event, you know, what percentage of them are on the community who are coming to the event and what are not. And then that delta is that first KPI. And I always say, well, our mission is to get as many people who are not already on the community or registered, who are coming to the event, registered and aware of the event. There's this thing I use called the community member journey. And it starts with awareness, then you join, you onboard, then you go into contribution, and you go into influence. It's like higher level of contributing in the community. At that event, our goal is to get as many people aware and into the join stage of that. So I take whatever metrics they have from the event team, you know, again, very practical, their first name, last name, email address, you know, whatever there is. And then we just do initial mapping, you know, of that and go, okay, well, these are the people we need to reach out to. And then we look at the whole, you know, event experience and say, well, how much can we talk about and what all the areas can we talk about the community to spread awareness? Where can we share an inspiring story from a community member to inspire someone to join? Where can we put, you know, a value-added proposition of why they should join at the end of a session, so that connects with them. So it's not just thinking a one and done, it's thinking holistically around that whole event experience, knowing that, you know, those customers, when they're, you know, or those attendees, when they come, they're there for a particular purpose, and you want them to know that you want them to belong. You know, you want them to be connected and say, hey, it's awesome that you're here, but we have this amazing community. So when the event is over, here's what we want you to do. Here's a great opportunity, you know, and find those current community members and collect stories from them and just basically put them in key places in the event. Because the event is very, you know, some events can be very dynamic, you know, like big, massive, like enterprise events, but something as intimate as a you know, maybe a 2-day event or something like that, but just, you know, integrating the stories. But for me, it's looking at the metrics of the event and then seeing how many, you know, you got people to join. When I say join, it's, you know, registered on that online community. Because when people are gone from the event, I know from my experience, I need some place to go. Like, yeah. How am I going to connect with those people that I was just there?
Yeah.
Sure. You could, there's the LinkedIn thing and, you know, that's happened. And I think that's fine. That's kind of like a ancillary kind of thing. But if you really want to build that community, you want to talk about as much of this virtual community that you've created, mm-hmm. and get as many people who are there in person to join. Because what I really help kind of drive home with an event, my event colleagues, is that it's a cycle. You need a virtual community, but you also need that in-person element. Mm-hmm. And you can't have one without the other. And certainly you can, but you're not getting as much value. And you're certainly not getting as much, you know, the ROI. I know any good leader is going to want to, like, what's the ROI of this? What am I going to get out of it? You get maximum ROI when you have, you know, an online community paired with your event experience, and you're having both of those work together. Because if you think about it, when you're at that event, people who are members of the community, they're usually talking about all the great things that they've been sharing online and virtually together. And when you join, you can then, you know, when you're there in person, you're able to share everything that you've been talking about. And then when you're there in person, you go to the online and you talk about all the great things and memories, you know, and things, and kind of, you can kind of carry it on from what you're there. Cause all the great events I've been to where you just get, you know, you're like, oh, I wish this feeling could continue.
Yes. Yes.
I want to continue it.
That's so true.
Well, why not send people to an experience? Like, that's the beauty of the online virtual community. Is to,
well,
like,
and having That's why it's there. You have someone who like moderates it too, because I'm in plenty of online communities that are not moderated, and then those that are, and those that are incredible. And having the right person, like I'll just give. I know that I could talk to you forever about this, but I just last week, like 7 days ago, I started a Facebook group community as like as a test kind of thing. Like it was totally purely experiment. And I sent messages to like 15 or 20 people, direct messages. I have not posted this publicly anywhere. This is the first time I'm talking about it publicly. And within 5 days, I had over 100 members. I made one post and it had 68 comments. And So, but it's just like the importance of having that community wouldn't have done anything if I didn't make that post. And that community would have not grown without the word of mouth. I sent 20 direct messages. I have over 100 people because people were sharing it with other people and it wasn't public anywhere, right? And then I made one post and it had such great value add with all of these comments that then people were adding other people. And so it was just a really fascinating experiment that I'm going to continue. And now that I've mentioned it, I have to share it in the show notes. But
That's a great example.
It's so great. And it's just having that moderated. So one of the reason how you and I know each other is because we're thought leadership and we were in this incredible session about how to share our incredibleness with the world because it's so awesome. And I'm so pumped that you and I are releasing our books at the same time. And when I met you, I was like, oh my gosh, your framework is so brilliant. And your book, The Community First Company, can you just share a little bit about your framework? Because I know we're kind of running out of time, but share a little bit about your framework and how we can pre-order your book and where to go and all the things.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Amazing experience. And the book, I've been working on it for quite a while, and it's called Community First Company. And it's designed to help leaders who are community curious build and sustain communities. In most cases, digital communities, but it can be, in person, as we're talking here, you need both of those. Remember that. but in the book, I talk about the basic belief has to come from, in the mind of the leader that, that the power of community and belonging can transform you as a leader, can be a new way of management. It can transform your company and how you collaborate and how you interact with customers. And then it can turn into a competitive advantage. If you're developing this community with your customers, you're developing a deeper relationship with them, deeper sense of connection. That's gold, right? For companies. And then you do that, you make an impact on your industry, and then you make an impact on the world. So that's the idea. All that has to happen in the mind of the leader. And then if that clicks, then there's this thing I call the three E's. And it's basically the system that I've kind of tested throughout my career and I found to be true, which essentially it's experience, enablement, and evaluation. At the center of those is this idea of shared value. So whenever I'm building community with leaders, I always say, well, we don't just build community to build up registrations on this virtual experience. We do it to, drive revenue, drive growth, build better products, build a better relationship, build trust with customers, save money, reduce costs, all these different things. So at the center is that shared value. So if you look at experience, that basically means that you're looking holistically across the entire company. You're thinking business operations and you're thinking customer experience, customer lifecycle, like where are you going to put community first, kind of anchor it, and then how is it going to grow across the company? Because community should not be siloed. It is way too powerful to just put off in any one part of the company, but you need to start somewhere. So enablement is the idea that you need to train your staff so that they understand what community is, why it's important, and how it fits into their individual role. And then you also need to enable your customers. If you have passionate advocates, for your company, for your products or your event or whatever it is, you need to give them the tools, you need to give them access, you need to enable them to take your message forward. And then the evaluation, kind of we've been talking about this already, is the idea of metrics. Mm-hmm. So taking community metrics and applying them to achieve business goals, business metrics. So, and then you do this thing called balancing hard metrics with soft metrics. Hard metrics are like the numbers, KPIs, you know, the up and to the right bar charts, all that kind of stuff. And then the stories is the soft metrics, things that touch the heart, things that say, wow, that customer was changed. What's that hero's journey, story arc, transformation that person had, you know, in the community? What is all that? So if you take those three E's, you know, experience, enablement, and evaluation, put them all together, you're going to get shared value. But the one thing that I've learned is that if you take any one of those E's out of the equation, it doesn't work. And that's, you know, unfortunately, I've seen how it doesn't work. But on the good side, you mentioned all those, you know, all those great moments of having success. You know, awards are great, but I'm like, those awards are symbolism of value that has been delivered, you know, and that makes me extremely happy to do that. So underneath that, you know, that framework is all the community building tactics and strategies, you know, that we kind of talk about. So what often happens is that communities just get launched and they don't have that 3E framework to guide them. They don't have that mindset at the leadership level. And when things get hard, you know, in the market, or maybe there's some internal pressure to like, well, the community's not driving value right away in 6 months. I'm like, well, community's long game. You know, it takes time. It's, you know, you can't microwave it, you know, kind of thing. You know, so that's why I get into the book, and I'm really happy to, you know, to share it and kind of talk about it. I really hope it helps leaders get the value out of this amazing thing we call community and belonging, and really just not see it as like a silo thing. I hope, you know, event leaders who are listening to this, you know, see that community can really superpower their, you know, their events, and that you should see it as holistic, create your event experience, but design it in a way where you're going to send people to something afterwards, you know, yes, some kind of virtual experience. If everybody's interested in the book, and I hope you are, you can text community first to 33777, and then I'll get you on an email list and a text list to get more info. I got a free download where I kind of like a checklist where you can kind of go, am I a community first company? Like, am I on that path? And then you can, you know, start to do that. And then I'll be sharing updates and tips for that. So that's community first to 33.
I wrote it down. Look at that.
777. Yeah.
And we'll put that in the show notes. I'm going to text it myself. I definitely want it for sure. And not just to support you as my friend, but this knowing more in depth about your framework, being part of the process at the beginning when you were drafting your book, it's just so incredible how you've laid out something that seems so soft skilly, and you've really put a great framework around it. So 33777, community first. We'll make sure that's in the show notes as well. But if you're listening in your car and you're driving, then you want to make sure that you do so safely. But you text this number, because you really want this download for sure.
And you can go to communityfirstcompany.com/free. You can also do that. But I know we love to text, and you know, that's a simple way to get info.
Okay, Chris, I end every single episode. What's your one key takeaway? We have event planners, we have event venues, we have experienced designers, we have some students that are interested in events. We've got like a whole event community across 70 countries listening to this podcast, which blows my mind. So what's your one key takeaway for the wonderful listeners?
Oh, you're going to have to, man, you're limited to one, huh? But so many things. I would say one, partnering, measure, and be intentional. Like those three things. I know as a community building professional for the last 20 years, I love partnering with events. Such an important part of the community building process. There's so much potential. So reach out. You know, if you know somebody who's a community builder who sounds like me or whatever, you know, that reach out to them. We love to work with people. We love to work, especially our event colleagues, that, you know, and measure what you're doing. So much of what I've seen has not been thought of as measurable. You can measure community. You can measure the impact on your business. Don't believe that myth. And be intentional. Like we're saying, don't put that bar in the middle of the thing and just walk away. Be something that, you know, great experience that's intentional, and engineer. Don't be afraid to engineer community, because it's really good. That's full circle.
You even brought the bar back around. Look at that.
There you go. Well, I've been there. Like, I know what you mean. You're, my heart is like, oh my gosh, I've been there before. I'm like, you know, it's hard for me to go to an event and not be like, this could have been, you know, I really love this, or this, you know, it's just what I do, you know, and yeah. I could see we're on the same of the same cloth, I guess, in that sense.
Yes. Is it okay if I put your LinkedIn in the show notes for people to reach out to you directly if they're interested in
yeah.
that? Yeah.
Please
yeah.
Do.
Okay.
Please do.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Chris, for being here again. I could talk to you for hours. It could be our longest episode ever because we're so passionate about this and the value that you've added just with thinking about ROI and measurement in a different way and elongating, you know, the in-person and the online and people saying that's not my job, right? So we've got to yeah. conquer that. And you're so great. And thank you so much for your time. I never take it for granted. And I appreciate you so much.
Well, thank you. Likewise, right back at you.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. For everyone listening, we'll have another episode next week. We are talking all things engagement from a neuroscience brain perspective, which is super, super awesome. And I'm pumped. So I will see you all next week.
Thanks for listening to the Experience University podcast. Stay tuned for our next episode.